You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:30pm with Gary Capewell, Kevin O'Malley and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. We've got racing in both codes and on the all-weather on Thursday. National Hunt Racing from Bangor, racing on the turf at Catterick, all-weather action at Lingfield in the afternoon, and we finish the day with racing on the Tappity surface at Wolverhampton. Plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm pretty well, Mark, but I would have been better if Duke of Navan had stayed 2.5 miles in the old roan chase at Daintree on Sunday. Nothing was going better turning for home. I was just about to collect my money, and then, boom, after the second last, just faded away.
Hey, what did you make of the action at Aintree, John, and Cheltenham this weekend? It's obviously been a good weekend for the jumping.
Yeah, very good weekend. I thought Aintree was extremely good. As I say, the old roan chase was absolutely excellent. Sound Investment was a good winner in the end, but it was a really good race throughout. And yes, both jumping meetings, you know, giving a tremendous start off to the autumn season, which should be very exciting.
Should. We're going to look at the Monday jury to start with on this podcast, and then we're going to move on to Tuesday's racing. So let's get stuck into the Monday jury. John, the first question, did we see the Derby winner at Doncaster, Newbury or Deauville?
Well, I don't think so, Mark, myself. There were some useful winners, but it strikes me that they weren't really classy enough to win at Epsom. But mid-term would be the one that I would take out of the three tracks. So Michael Stout very rarely has juveniles running in good class company. This was at Newbury, who win first time out. And I thought mid-term did the job really well. Of course, he's got a marvellous pedigree, as most of the stables horses have, and he'll certainly improve over a longer trip. So mid-term was pretty good. And, you know, don't neglect Foundation, because Frankie Dettori simply didn't have an ounce of room to move inside the last half mile. I think probably, though, that will go for the Guineas more than the Derby.
Mm. Blue de Vega looked quite a special juvenile at Leopardstown. What are your thoughts on him?
Well, he looked very impressive. Visually, extremely good. And travelled like a class horse throughout. My worry about him, if I was thinking of an antipost bet for a major race next spring, would be the fact that he beat the same rivals that he had rarely beaten in the maiden at Nace before that. And I don't think they were, on paper, absolutely top class. So although he was very impressive, I would like to see him played against classier rivals.
OK, let's just take a quick glance ahead towards the Breeders' Cup as well. Are you with or against American Pharoah in the Classic?
Well, I'm slightly against, in that I think he's had a really very, very long and hard season. And the real reason for me being slightly against him, Mark, is the fact that I think he hasn't been taken on much in previous races. He was allowed to dictate and enjoyed a pretty soft lead. That may be a slight exaggeration, but he wasn't actually pressurised in the first half of his races until the last occasion. And although he fought and actually just went down in a prolonged battle, it might conceivably give hope to the opposition, who saw that he was beaten when someone took him on, and I'm quite certain he'd be taken on again. Beholder has got a chance if she comes to the race nicely settled and has got plenty of pace. And what about Len Eagles? I mean, yeah. if Lane Eagles were to run, I'm actually convinced that the horse, we didn't see the right horse at Ascot. Graham wasn't right. He hadn't been out for a long time. And I just got the impression there that this Breeders' Cup was more his target than the race in which he was beaten recently.
Yeah, I kind of got the impression that they haven't run him for so long. They just wanted to get a run into him before they went to the Breeders' Cup.
I'm sure that was the case, Mark. And we could see a completely different horse. And provided there's not too much rain. Now, believe it or not, they're talking about rain in Keeneland. And if the rain stays away and the ground is sound, I think it's got a fair chance.
American Pharoah 6-4 at the top of the market there. 7-2 for Beholder, 7-1 for Honor Code and Tonalist. 9s for Keen Ice and 12-1 or bigger for the others. Glen Eagles in there at 16-1. Which is a big old price for a horse that's been talked up all season.
Yes, yeah. It's a very good price indeed. And, I think the American racegoers will look at this horse and think, oh, well, you know, he's rarely shouted up, but he was a complete failure last time out. And they might just leave the price at that double figure quote.
Mm. Europe looks typically strong in the Breeders' Cup mile. Who do you fancy?
Well, I've always been a time test man. And I'd love to see time test go. But again, it's a little bit of a question about the ground. We don't want too much rain. There's also a question about the draw, which is going to come into matters quite significantly in the Breeders' Cup. Keeneland and very tight track. And, don't want to be drawn right on the wide outside. Otherwise, he'll be clumping around on the outside. But I do think time test is a really good horse. And... Monsieur Farber has got two runners going in this race, and I was very impressed by Esoteric at Newmarket last time out. I thought that he travelled extremely well throughout the race and then accelerated impressively in the closing stages. So Esoteric would be my choice in that, just to beat time test.
Okay, well, those two are the 7-2 joint favourites at the moment, Esoteric and Time Test. Make Believe 9-2, 6-1 for Impossible. Caraconti is 9s, 12 for Tepin, and 14-1 are bigger prices for the others there. Moving on to the next question, a Golden Horn Legatissimo double. Can you foresee any dangers to that?
Well, I think there are lots of dangers to it, Mark. Yes, is the answer to that question. Again, the draw is going to come into this quite significantly. And if they're drawn reasonably well, I think both of them have got a very good chance. I don't actually go into the camp that Golden Horn has had too long and too hard a season. Everyone was on about that before the Ark, and we saw what happened. Mm. And I don't really see that's a pragmatic reason for opposing the horse. As for Legatissimo, she's been in very good form. Again, a longish season. Unlucky, I thought, not to win the Oaks. Has come good late. And if she's drawn well, her versatility for ground and her ability to run well from the front of the field must give her a very good chance. So of the two, I would actually think that Legatissimo's got the better chance of victory. But it wouldn't surprise me if they both won.
Okay. Final question of this week's Monday, Jory. Then John Luke Morris, Adam Kirby are a surprise package for the all-weather Riders' Crown.
Well, I don't think we can see a surprise package, Mark. I don't think that the young riders will have enough mounts to actually embarrass the two market leaders. Of course, were Mark Johnston to go back onto the all-weather in a big way, which I think is unlikely on the grounds that, the two-year-old situation was such last season and so successful that I think he'll have lots of two-year-olds again. Therefore, he won't have very many in the all-weather. Therefore, Joe Fanning is more or less discounted as a leading all-weather rider. I would go for Luke Morris. I think he is really hungry for winners. He is ambitious to win this title again. He's immensely strong, and he is very much a jockey to go for lots of trainers. And I just feel that Adam Kirby may not get the amounts from Godolphin that he did in the middle of last season. A, with James Doyle and William Buick about, and B, the fact that it's possible that Godolphin will concentrate more on Dubai. So therefore, Luke Morris for me.
Luke Morris for Lord Budden. Then that's the Monday jury for another week. Let's move on to Tuesday's action. Lord Budden's got four races for us, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
We're going to look at three races at Catterick and one from Bangor. So we start in the 110 at Catterick, which is a Class 4 handicap over a mile and a half. Field of 13 here, John. So a nice competitive start to this preview.
Yeah, very competitive indeed, Mark. Going down the line, we've got Shrewd running in this race, who, you know, is not a horse who one would have thought had got a great deal of chance on form, but is trained by Ian Jardine, who has taken over Len Lungo's stable up at Carruthers Town in Dumfriesshire, and he's doing extremely well under both codes. And as he trains Shrewd, you shouldn't neglect. Selling All the Time is another one who comes into the chance here, but not that keen. I think he may be a little bit outclassed. We've got a number of horses near the bottom of the handicap. Martin Todd Hunter's team in quite good form. Cloud Monkey is a winner at Catterick and was second last time out. Could go well. And Card High is in this for Will Story. Very consistent throughout the season. Emma Sayer has ridden this horse much of the time. Paul Mulrennan gets the nod at Catterick here, so Card High can't be dismissed. But I'm a great follower of Poetic Verse, so I'm going to go for that one. John Quinn's versatile horse was in fact fourth at Stratford over hurdles last time out, but had run very well over this sort of trip when a second to Dominada at Catterick on the penultimate. And provided the ground doesn't get too soft, I thought Poetic Verse with Danny Tudhope in the saddle had got a fair chance.
Poetic Verse then, the selection for John in the 110 at Catterick. Moving on to the 140 next. This is a Class 4 handicap over almost 6 furlongs. So 3-year-olds and older, a field of 12 here, John. We'll start with French Press, because usually somewhere there or thereabouts.
Yes, so quite a lot in the field, Mark. You're absolutely right. French Press has got, you know, as good a chance as any. Possibly ran the best race last time out when a close second, and he only got to just improve a tiny bit to certainly be involved in the finish. But in order that the connections of French Press won't be too disheartened, I'm not going to make him my selection. Going down from the top, I thought Jack Louis got a little bit too much weight. Very consistent horse, but finds actually winning difficult, and the handicapper is paying him no mercy. Straight to the Point is a horse that's cost my wallet rather a lot of money over the past two seasons. Could go quite well for Brian Smart here, but again, finds actually winning fairly difficult. We've got Best Trip in the field as well, who's quite useful when on form. Manatee Bay in addition to that. But for the winner, I am going to go for P. Shooter, who I thought ran extremely well at Musselburgh last time out. P. Shooter likes a tight track like Catterick, and Brian Ellison's team are in very good shape.
On to the third race at Catterick that we're going to look at. This is the 215. This is a Class 4 handicap over 7 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older. 15 of them in the lineup here, John. And we'll start with Caddo Power, who was a winner over this course and distance last time.
Yes, and also drawn nicely on the inside. Has plenty of speed. And it wouldn't surprise me at all to see Caddo Power up there throughout and perhaps stay on to win. Certainly got a major chance, and I will put no one off backing Caddo Power in this contest. It's wide open though, Mark, this really absolute minefield. The two that I have picked out as being possible contenders for the frame are Evansent, again from John Quinn's yard, has been knocking at the door, this horse, and was well backed at Ayr a couple of outings ago and didn't really get into the contest, finished 6th. Likes Catterick, it goes well on the tight track. And again, it could go quite well. Dougie Costello has the mount, and he'll make certain that this horse gets a good ride. He, of course, rides lots of John Quinn's horses over the sticks. And then the one I quite like as an outsider, admittedly, but Mick Easterby's horses, in my view, are running nicely into form. And Calc Bay is an autumn horse who quite often picks up a prize before going to bed for the winter. And this horse is ridden by Nathan Evans, too, who's a very useful apprentice, claiming 7. He will be an outsider, and, you know, I couldn't be confident, but I'm going to go for Calc Bay to take it.
Okay, one at a bit of a price then for John in the 4:15, sorry, 2:15, and then we move on to Bangor for our final race. The 4 o'clock at Bangor is a handicap hurdle over almost 3 miles, and we've got a field of 10 here, John. Let's start with Bailey's Dream, who, unlike the rest of these, arrives here in winning form.
Yeah, it certainly does arrive in very good winning form, Bailey's Dream, and I think Bangor will suit. Certainly the trip on the ground will go well. So Bailey's Dream must have a major chance, and he will be my choice in that contest. The rest are very moderate. In form horse, let's go for Bailey's Dream.
OK, Bailey's Dream, then the selection for Lord Budden there. As usual, John, let's just have a little bit of a summary, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
We have three at Catterick, don't we? In the 1:10, we go for Poetic Verse for John Quinn. In the 1:40, P Shooter, who I do think's got a very fair chance indeed. In the 2:15 at Catterick, I'm going to go for an outsider, Cork Bay. And in the 4 o'clock at Bangor, Bailey's Dream has to have a major chance.
Good work, John. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Tuesday.
Thank you very much, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Lord John Budden on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 12:30 p.m. Gary Capewell, Kevin O'Malley and Ollie Pimlott will be the team in the studio. It's Bangor, Catterick and Lingfield on Tuesday afternoon and evening action on the Tapeter at Wolverhampton. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.